Good to see you tonight. We've got a small crowd. We'll be primarily in 1 Samuel, chapters 13 through 20. We'll be bouncing around a lot between those chapters. And we'll be studying Jonathan tonight. But before we get into that, I'll ask Ray, if he would, to lead us in a prayer before we start.
Dear Father, thank you that we can come together here to study your word. Please bless all of us as students, and bless Earl as our teacher, and help us be attentive, and help us to learn about your will through an example, through Jonathan's life, and help us apply it to our lives, and be with those of our number who can't be here for various reasons, health-wise, or other reasons, and help us be encouragement to them in any way, and be with the other teachers here, and bless their classes in the same way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, we are going to be studying about Jonathan tonight. And just real quick, let's take 60 seconds and just throw out some really quick, fast bullet point things that you remember about Jonathan. And I'm not talking about your son, Rachel.
Saul's son.
Saul's son.
David's best friend.
David's best friend. He was Saul's eldest son, David's best friend.
Loyal.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head, and we'll be talking a lot about his loyalty tonight. Yeah, yes, the crippled boy. We'll talk about him tonight, too. He was a brave warrior, tremendous faith in God. We'll hit on all those points as we go through this tonight. my sinuses, as I was preparing for this, I read one commentator said about Jonathan, he said he was one of the most open-hearted and likable human beings in the Bible. And I think that describes him pretty well. He was very, very kind-hearted, very loyal, as Becca just said. And so, if I was going to pick one word, if somebody said you only have one word to describe Jonathan, what word would it be? It would be loyal. That was the one that I would pick, and that's the one I did pick for this class. And so, I want us to look at different aspects of his loyalty. And we're going to be looking at several different passages, and they're not going to necessarily be in the chronological order historically, but because we're going to be covering each aspect of his loyalty, we'll be kind of bouncing around a little bit. And so the first one that I want to look at is, it's a little delay in that, isn't there? Yeah, I want to be at the first one. Right there. Was his loyalty to his father. a lot of times when we think about Jonathan's loyalty, we think about his loyalty to David, and rightly so. But he was loyal to others other than just David. And so we're in 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13, talking about Jonathan. So in chapter 13, in verse 2, it talks about Saul having 3,000 men under his charge and Jonathan having 1,000 men under his charge. And Jonathan goes to Gibeah and captures a Philistine garrison. So he's in his father's army. He's loyal to his father. And then in chapter 14, verse 43 through 45, we see that after his father had put out an oath, put all the people under oath that they shouldn't eat honey on a day that they were supposed to go, or not honey, but they shouldn't eat food on the day that they were supposed to go into battle. Jonathan did eat some honey, unaware of his father's command. Rick, can I get you to read 14, 43 through 45?
Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." So Jonathan told him and said, "I indeed tasted a little honey with the end of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am. I must die." And Saul said, "May God do this to me and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan." But the people said to Saul, "Must Jonathan die who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Far from it, as the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die.
Okay, so Saul had given this edict, if anybody eats food today, he's going to die. Jonathan, unaware of this, because he wasn't with the group at the time, eats a little honey and then finds out about it later. But it's interesting here that Jonathan is willing to take the punishment of the rash oath of his father, even though Jonathan did nothing wrong. He was willing. He was loyal to his father. He was willing to accept his father's judgment on it. And of course, the people stepped in and spoke up for Jonathan and saved him in this case. We see another instance of his loyalty to his father. In chapter 20, turn over to chapter 20 with me. David is telling Jonathan that his father has determined to kill him. And Jonathan, back in chapter 19, had already gone to David's defense one time with his father. And his father said he was going to kill David, and Jonathan goes to his defense and persuades Saul, and Saul seems to repent of that and changes his mind. But then shortly after that, he has this evil spirit come upon him again, and he tries to kill David. And then David escapes, and Jonathan is unaware of all of these things that have transpired since he last talked to his father. And so he assumes the best of his father until it becomes obvious to him that he is once again trying to kill David. So Zach, can I get you to read 20 verses 1 through 4?
Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" And he said to him, "Far from it, you shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? It is not so." But David vowed again, saying, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he thinks, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death.' Then Jonathan said to David, 'Whatever you say, I will do for you.'"
Okay. So, Jonathan is unaware of what took place after he talked to his father in chapter 19. And persuaded his father not to kill David. And so he is now assuming the best of his father. He's assuming that you must be mistaken, David. My father reveals everything to me. He doesn't hide anything from me. And he says at the end of verse 2, "It is not so." And yet, even though he doesn't think that his father still wants to kill David, in verse 4, he's willing to consider whatever David wants to do to find out the matter. He says, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." I believe you're mistaken, David. I don't believe my dad wants to kill you. Showing loyalty to his father, but at the same time showing loyalty to David in his willingness to pursue the matter. What if some total stranger that Jonathan didn't know, just a regular citizen, had walked up to him and started making accusations against the king? How do you think he would have taken that? Probably wouldn't have taken it very well. But he takes it from David because him and David are very close. They have a very close friendship. But he is loyal to his father. He's giving his father the benefit of the doubt here. Okay, we see one more example of his loyalty to his father in chapter 31, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 31, 1 through 4. Daryl, can I get you to read that for us, please?
Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and pierce me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and pierce me through and make sport of me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell.
Okay, so Jonathan dies alongside his father in battle. And this is long after he had tried to kill David multiple times and had pursued David multiple times. After all of that, he's still loyal to his father. He disagreed with his father. He was very upset and angry with his father because of the way he treated David. But he was still loyal to his father and died on the battlefield with his father. Okay, would you advance it one more for me, Rick? He's loyal to his country. In chapter 13, go back to chapter 13. Jonathan, it says there, which we've already referenced just a minute ago, smote a garrison of the Philistines in verse 3. And this is not the first time that he proves loyal to his country in battle. Also in chapter 14, he and his armor bearer climb up between two steep cliffs to approach a garrison of the Philistines. And let's read verses 8 through 15. Can I get you to read that for us, Ray?
Let's see, are we 14?
Yeah, chapter 14, verse 8 through 15.
Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and we will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike which Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within, as it were, half a furrow's length in an acre of land.
Yeah, and so Jonathan and one other man, his armor bearer, killed 20 Philistines. And that wasn't the end of it, was it? What happens after this? Saul sees what happened. Some of Saul's scouts see what happened, and they report to Saul. And Saul and the entire army attack the Philistines because they're routed. This really upset the Philistines. They didn't know what was going on. They got all, you know, disoriented and confused, and they started running, and Saul took advantage of that. And Jonathan's actions on this day led to a great victory for Israel. So we see here an example of his loyalty to his country. And then, as we've already mentioned, in chapter 31, we see loyalty to his country in that he died on the battlefield, fighting for his country. Any comments on anything that we've talked about so far? Some of these will be overlapping when we talk about some of the other things. Would you advance to the next one, please, Rick? We're going to now talk about the loyalty to his friends. Turn to chapter 18. In chapter 17, David kills Goliath, and Saul says, "Who was that young man?" And they bring David to him, and let's start reading in chapter 18 and verses 1 through 4. Rachel, can I get you to read that for us?
Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt.
Okay. This was the beginning of one of the greatest friendships of all time. So I'm going to ask a question. Why do you suppose Jonathan's heart was so quickly knit to David's heart?
They're the same type of person. Like...
Yeah, they're the same type of person. They both love their country. They both love their God. They're both brave warriors, men of courage, and they're both men of great faith. And that's the way it is a lot of times with people who have developed really close friendships. They have a lot in common, and they have a lot of common interests and so forth. And that's certainly the case here with Jonathan and David. It's interesting that Jonathan strips himself of his robe, of his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. And he gives them all to David. How did David kill Goliath?
With a sling.
With a sling. But Jonathan recognizes a great warrior here. And I don't know if there's anything here that... just instinctively, Jonathan understood that David was going to rise to great heights, or he just offered these things to him just because I love this guy. I'm going to give him this stuff because he's great. I love this guy. But they had a very, very special friendship, and Jonathan was loyal to his friends. All right, turn over to chapter 19, and let's read verse 1 through 6. Here, Jonathan defends David to his father Saul. And Saul listens to what Jonathan has to say and vows not to put David to death, but soon after that changes his mind. And we referenced this earlier just a few minutes ago. So chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Andrew, could I get you to read that for us?
1 through 6.
1 through 6. Chapter 19, 1 through 6.
Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants, that they would kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, "My father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning, and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe I will tell you." Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, "Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine. and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood and kill David without a cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and the Lord swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed.
Okay, so Jonathan is not a fair weather friend. We've all seen those, haven't we? People who you think you're friend, and when the going gets tough, they don't stand beside you. That's not true with Jonathan. His father, who is the king, wants to kill David. And Jonathan could have buckled under that pressure. Well, my father's the king. He probably knows what's best. You know, maybe David's not everything I thought he was. He could have rationalized all kinds of different ways to justify not standing up for David. But he doesn't do that. He comes to David's defense, and he tells his dad, said, look, you were there. You saw what David did. You rejoiced in it. David hasn't done anything wrong. Why do you want to do this? And in verse 6, Saul listens to the voice of Jonathan. And Saul vowed, as the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. And so then Jonathan went and told David that he had talked to his father and that all was well. And as far as Jonathan is concerned, that's the end of the matter. That's why in chapter 20, when David comes back to Jonathan later and says, your dad's trying to kill me, Jonathan's confused. He's like, no, he's not. He tells me everything. That's not true. I'll find out and I'll get back to you. But Jonathan didn't think that his dad had turned from what he had said to him here in verse 6. But what happens immediately after this? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's another battle. David goes out and kills a bunch of Philistines, and everybody's happy and rejoicing. And Saul is just, it's eating at him, you know. And he throws a spear at David. This is the second time in this text. This is the second time that he's done this. And so David flees and goes home, and by this time he's married to Saul's daughter, Michal. And Saul sends soldiers to David's house to arrest him. And you remember what happens when they get there? Michal put an idol at the head of the bed and I guess stuffed, you know, pillows in the blankets to make it look like David was asleep, but she let him out a window and he escaped. And Saul was furious with her for doing that. Well, she's his wife. But Saul gave her to David, hoping that she would be a stumbling block to David, but she's actually, in this case, helping him. And so David flees, and it's immediately after this that David meets up with Jonathan and says, your dad's trying to kill me. And Jonathan says, no, he's not. He told me he wasn't going to do that. Well, yeah, he might have told you that. But he's changed his mind because he tried to kill me with a spear, and he's determined that he's going to kill me. And that's when Jonathan and David had the conversation that we read about earlier in chapter 20. Okay, one other example of his loyalty to David. Again, in chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, and earlier, we read that already, didn't we? Yeah. Okay, so he defends his father to David. He says, I really don't think my dad's trying to kill you. He tells me everything, but he says in verse 4, whatever you say, I will do for you. And so This shows his dual loyalty, I think. He's loyal to his father, but he's also loyal to his friendship with David. And I'll tell you something else he's loyal to. Truth. He wants to get to the bottom of it. He wants to know what the truth is. If my dad, if you've been told something, David, that's not true, and somebody's accusing my dad of wanting to kill you and it's not true, I want to find out so I can clear my dad's name. But if my dad really is trying to kill you, I want to know that too. I want to know the truth. And so he's loyal to his dad up to the, you know, to the extent that he can be. He's loyal to David, his friend, and he also wants to get to the bottom of the truth. Okay, in chapter 20, again, in verse 16 and 17, we see further evidence of Jonathan's loyalty and love for David. And Zach, could I get you to read that for us? 20, verse 16, 17.
And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as his own soul.
Okay. So, he loved David as much as he loved his own life. And if somebody loves another person that much, what are they willing to do for that person?
Die.
Die for them. They're willing to die for them. Okay. Same chapter, verse 30 through 33. We see in this text that Jonathan is willing to give up his right to be king. I mean, he's next in line after his father Saul. He's next in line. But he's willing to give that up for David. And not only for David, but for what's right and for what God wants. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Okay, Ray, can I get you to read again verse 30 through 33 of chapter 20?
Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." How many verses again?
33.
Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" But Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him. So Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death.
Okay. Now, after the conversation that Jonathan and David had earlier in the chapter, when Jonathan wasn't convinced that his father was trying to kill David, but he says, "Whatever you say, I will do," David and Jonathan came up with a plan that David would be absent from the table of Saul. And if Saul gets angry because I'm not there, then you'll know that he means me harm. If he's okay with it, then we'll know that he doesn't mean me harm. And so when David doesn't show up the first day, Saul doesn't say anything because he thinks, well, maybe he's unclean. And then when he doesn't show up the second day, he asks Jonathan about it. And Jonathan tells him that David went back to Bethlehem for a feast that his family was having. And this is when Saul gets angry. And he says to Jonathan, "Don't you realize that as long as that man is alive, he's a threat to your becoming the king?" That's what he says. And a lot of people in a situation like that who were in line to become the next king might stop and think about it and say, you know what? My dad's got a point. I like David. He's a good guy. And you know, I really respect what he did with Goliath and this and that and the other thing, but don't really much like the idea of him taking my place as king. Was that Jonathan's attitude? Not at all. He was perfectly willing to step aside and let David be the king. And that is related in part to his loyalty to God, which we'll talk about just in a few minutes. But he wanted what was right in God's eyes more than what personally benefited him. Okay, so he keeps his promise to David, and in verses 34 through 42, Jonathan and David meet out in the field, and he shoots the arrow. They had again planned that he said, okay, if I shoot this arrow and I tell the young man, the lad, that the arrow is this side of you, then that means everything is safe. There's no harm. If I shoot the arrow and I say to the lad, the arrow is beyond you, David, and you hear me say that, then you'll know there is harm. And David was hiding and observing Jonathan shooting the arrow and listening. And so let's pick up in verse 34 and read 34 through 42. And I'll read that. I'll take my turn. Chapter 20, verse 34 through 42. Then Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat food on the second day of the new moon, for he was grieved over David because his father had dishonored him. Now it came about in the morning that Jonathan went into the field for the appointment with David and the little lad who was with him. And he said to the lad, run, find the arrows which I am about to shoot. As the lad was running, he shot an arrow past him. And when the lad reached the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond you? And Jonathan called after the lad, hurry, be quick, do not stay. And Jonathan's lad picked up the arrow and came to his master. But the lad was not aware of anything, only Jonathan and David knew about the matter. And Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, go, bring them to the city. And when the lad was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times, and they kissed each other and wept together, but David more. And Jonathan said to David, go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord will be between you and me, between my descendants and your descendants forever. Then he arose and departed while Jonathan went into the city. So he told David at the beginning of the chapter, whatever you say, I will do. I will find out for you what my father's intentions are, and I will warn you. If he has ill intentions, if he's not going to hurt you, I'll tell you that too. So he keeps his promise to David, and we see the emotion that goes on between these two men because of this close friendship that they have for each other. Okay. Next, loyalty to his family. Jonathan is loyal to his family. We've already talked about earlier about his loyalty to his father. But he's also loyal to other family members as well. In chapter 20, in verse 13 through 15, and in 41 through 42, he talks to David about a covenant that exists between David and David's descendants and him and his descendants. Jonathan understands at this point that David's going to be king someday. Now, he has no way of knowing that he's going to die in a battle. And he is saying in the verses that we're getting ready to read, basically, when you become king, please remember me and remember my family, remember my descendants. So let's read 20, 13 through 15, and then 41 through 42. Chapter 20, starting in verse 13. Daryl, 13 through 15, can I get you to do that?
If it please my father and do you harm, may the Lord do so to Jonathan the more also, if I do not make it known to you and send you away, that you may go in safety. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And if I am still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord, that I may not die? And you shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth.
Okay, what's he saying here? I think he's come to the realization and the understanding that David is going to be the king someday. And he says, and if I'm still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord, that I may not die? What oftentimes would happen when there was a power shift from one king to another back in these ancient times?
Kill all the descendants.
Yeah, kill all the descendants of the former king. Jonathan knows that. But Jonathan also is in a unique situation than most people would have been in that kind of situation where a king comes in and takes over. Jonathan has this strong bond, this strong relationship, this strong friendship with David. And he knows David's going to be king someday. And he's saying, please show your loving kindness toward me that I may not die. And also extend that same loving kindness to my house forever, even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. He's loyal to his family. He's looking out for his family. What are some of the things that we do to try to look out for our family after we're gone?
Provide an inheritance for them, if possible.
Provide a physical inheritance, if possible. There's a proverb that talks about leaving your children's children an inheritance. And there's the spiritual inheritance, which is even more important than the physical inheritance. We would hope that we would leave our children that, and our grandchildren. And so Jonathan is taking care of his family here. He's providing for them. Okay, 41 and 42. Rachel, can I get you to read that?
And when the lad was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times, and they kissed each other and wept together, but David mourned. And Jonathan said to David, go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord will be between you and me, and between my descendants and your descendants forever. And he rose and departed while Jonathan went into the city.
Yep. Okay. So, he's looking out for his family. Go over to 2 Samuel real quick, and let's look at an example of David actually honoring this request of Jonathan. In chapter 4, we find out about Jonathan's son, who, when the nursemaid that was carrying him, I guess, dropped him or something, and he became lame in his feet. And Mephibosheth, if I'm pronouncing that right, is his name. And so in chapter 9, starting in verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting in verse 1 through 13. We won't read the whole thing, but David, in verse 1, David said, Is there yet one left of the house of Saul that may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And so he asks, and it's pointed out to him that Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, and David calls for him, and he brings him in, and he prostrates himself before David, and David says, "Do not be afraid," in verse 7, "for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." And he again prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that I should regard, that you should regard a dead dog like me?" And so David is going to show kindness to the descendants of Jonathan to the extent that he can, and he does. So again, not only is Jonathan loyal to his friends, but we see here that David is also loyal to his friends. Okay, advance it one last time for me, Rick, please. And Jonathan is loyal to his God, and he is a man of great faith. Go back to chapter 14 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 14. When Jonathan and his armor bearer went up against the Philistine garrison and killed the men, before they actually went into battle, he's giving God the honor and the credit for their victory. Before the victory even happens, he's giving God the credit for it. Verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come and let us cross over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." And then he says in verse 10, "If they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands." Latter part of verse 12, he says, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Jonathan is loyal to God. He gives God the credit, and this shows his loyalty to God, but it also shows what?
Humility.
Humility and faith. He has tremendous faith and confidence that God will provide for them. And Jonathan showed his loyalty to God also in this way, that he stood for what was right. Even when his father was trying to do what was wrong, he stood for what was right. So we see in Jonathan a man of loyalty, a man of faith and courage, and someone that we should try to emulate. Thank you.